Because of his great love for us, God sent his only begotten Son to earth to pay the penalty for our sin with his death on the cross. He alone was qualified because, as God in human flesh, he was the only one who ever lived a sinless life. Our sin was laid on him, and he died in our place, thereby satisfying the Lord's justice. Oh, dear ones, the cross is the very heart of the Christian life.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, everybody. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. Today, we're talking about the message of the cross. You know, the cross has become a symbol of Christianity. But it's so much more than just a mere trinket or a mere piece of jewelry hanging around somebody's neck. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is such an important doctrine because understanding it, and understanding it correctly, determines whether or not we have eternal life. This was not simply the execution of a Jewish man by hanging on a cross. What transpired in that event was the solution to mankind's biggest problem, sin, and our resulting alienation from God. The city of Corinth was one of the most corrupt cities of its time, and its belief system was a mixture of various philosophies. However, when the Apostle Paul arrived, he didn't come to discuss philosophy, but had only one message for the people of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Tells us this, in Paul's own words, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Although the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, to those who are called, Christ crucified is the power and wisdom of God. That's found in 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24. You see, Paul had a conviction that the crucifixion was the most vital subject he could address. A conviction is being so thoroughly convinced that something is absolutely true that we'll take a stand for it regardless of the consequences. As believers, we must understand what happened as Jesus died on the cross, so we too can be thoroughly convinced of its supreme significance. So, we need to understand and we need to grasp that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was God's plan even before the foundation of the world. Although the Jews and the Romans both played a role in putting Jesus on that cross, God was the one who had already planned the death of his Son as an atonement, the payment for mankind's sin. 1 Peter 1, verses 19 and 21. Speaking of the precious blood of Christ shed for us, Peter said, "For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God." Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. He, meaning God, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. See, dear ones, before creation and before sin entered the world, God already had a plan in place for our redemption and knew who would be saved. And the cross was His method to fulfill His predestined plan of salvation. God's plan for the crucifixion of His Son was motivated by three things. First, the sinfulness of mankind. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which is found in Romans 3:23. And then, God's plan for the crucifixion of His Son was motivated by God's love. But God demonstrates in His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5, verse 8. And then there was God's divine justice. The Lord had decreed in Ezekiel 18, verse 4, the soul who sins will die. Although He loves us and wants to save us, God is also just. The wages of sin is death, and it must be paid for. God could not ignore our sin, dear ones, nor could He simply decide to forgive us, because this would not be just, and He cannot deny Himself or act contrary to His nature, which is perfection. The crucifixion was where our sin and God's love and justice met. Jesus died on that cross as an atonement, which means the payment for sin. In the Old Testament, and the animal sacrifices were a shadow of the ultimate sacrifice that would one day atone for sins once and for all. Because of His great love for us, God sent His only begotten Son to earth to pay the penalty for our sin with His death on the cross. He alone was qualified because, as God in human flesh, He was the only one who ever lived a sinless life. Our sin was laid on Him, and He died in our place, thereby satisfying the Lord's justice. Oh, dear ones, the cross is the heart, the very heart of the Christian life. The crucifixion is the divine transaction that saves us. Only the precious blood of Christ can cleanse us from sin and reconcile us to God the Father. Although the Jews and Romans viewed the crucifixion as an execution of a criminal, God saw it as the perfect atoning sacrifice that allowed Him to justify sinful mankind. Christ's sacrifice surpassed all the previous ones. The Old Testament priests entered the temple offering the blood of animals year after year after year, but Jesus entered one time into the holy place in heaven to appear before God and put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Oh, you know, sin is so filthy, it is so dirty, it is so evil that we cannot ignore or excuse or rationalize it. Those who die in their sins without the Savior will pay the penalty of eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Our sin cost the Heavenly Father the death of his beloved Son, whom he willingly sent to die for you and me so we could be justified and not have to pay for our own sin. He punished his Son with the punishment that you and I so deserved. That love is unfathomable. The crucifixion was the only moment in eternity when the Godhead was separated. As Jesus hung on that cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's in Matthew 27:46. In those horrible moments when the sins of the world were laid on him, Jesus bore the weight of all our guilt. And for the first time since eternity past, he felt the separation from his Heavenly Father. The crucifixion was an event that can never, ever be duplicated and will never need to be repeated. Christ's atoning death happened on one day and in one moment in history, and it was sufficient to pay for all the sins of everyone who's lived or who will live from Adam until Jesus returns. Christ never has to suffer and die again. The death of Christ covered everything, dear one, everything. Nothing can compare with what Jesus accomplished on the cross, and nothing else is required to pay for our salvation. Christ's crucifixion makes him open the gates of heaven for us. Christ's crucifixion makes forgiveness possible for everyone who believes in him. Everyone. And for those who do, their future is secure because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says. You see, there were three crosses on the hill that day. On one was a blaspheming criminal. In the middle was the Son of God paying the penalty for sin. And on the third cross hung a repentant sinner saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There was nothing he could do except believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And Christ answered him, saying, today you shall be with me in paradise. Oh, dear ones, the only way to be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let me ask you, will you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord right now? Will you? The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and right now is your appointed time. Here is how you can receive Christ. First of all, admit your need. Say, I am a sinner, and I know it. Secondly, be willing to turn from your sins. That means repent. Turn from your sins and ask for God's forgiveness. Thirdly, believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and that he rose from the grave on the third day. And through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, and to control your life through the Holy Spirit. Receive him as Savior and Lord. Let me pray this prayer with you. Are you ready? Pray this with all your heart. Dear God. That's right. Pray with me. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. And I want to turn from my sins. And I ask for your forgiveness right now. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins and that you raised him to life on the third day. I want him to come into my heart and to take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as my Lord from this day forward. And I will live for you and I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' powerful name I pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God, dear one. This is the most important decision you have ever made, if you've prayed that prayer with me, with all your heart. And now continue on, following him, living for him, serving him, telling other people about this decision that you've made for Christ today. That's so vitally important. Tell people that you made Jesus Christ your personal Savior and Lord. Lots of people will applaud you. They'll embrace you. They'll cry with you. They'll laugh with you. They'll rejoice with you. And yet others just may mock you. But that's all part of the Christian life. But nevertheless, heaven is now your eternal home. You're a citizen of heaven right now, dear one, right now. And you need to go out and share what Jesus has done in your life with others. Do that. Do that. If you've made this decision, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. I want to send you some resources free of charge and postage paid to help you get started in your walk with Christ. Thank you for listening today, dear ones. I have a book that's out now. It's my latest book. It's called The Forgiving Heart. You can find it at Amazon.com and at my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. The Forgiving Heart is in paperback and in Kindle format, ebook format. It'll be a blessing to you. Buy several copies. Pass them around. If there's anything that this world needs right now, is love and a forgiving heart. I'm telling you, I truly believe that my new book will bless you. The Forgiving Heart by Anthony Sluzes. Thank you for listening. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you, and may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home, and may he grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.